You're about to hear an inspiring message from the team at C3 Church Bathurst. It's our prayer that it will spur you to live your best life in Him.
It's great to be with you. Greetings from C3 Ride. I know Pastor Lou was up here. I think Andrew was here a little bit before that, right? And so over the weeks that Jeff and Roe had some long service leave. You don't always come back from long service leave and expect you're going to go in what you've gone through, but then sometimes you thank God for the long service leave that there's a preparation. And so you've been in this series of, you know, a portrait of Jesus, and had a contact with Jeff the other day when it worked out that I could come up and be with you today. And so I'm going to round that off. This is the last in that series. So if you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 9, and in the time that we've got, I'm going to just look through this very well-known passage in Matthew, Mark, and Luke about the transfiguration of Jesus. It's a portrait of Jesus. It's perhaps in some ways the most astounding experience and portrait that the disciples had, at least just three of the disciples that were chosen to come and participate in this amazing experience. We'll read that passage in just a moment, but a quick quiz. Pick the wisdom of God out of these statements. Statement number one, whatever will be, will be. Number two, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Number three, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Number four, God helps those who help themselves. Which one of those was the wisdom of God? Number three, very good. You're sharp at C3 Bathurst. The other ones we often hear trotted out, don't we? Often, even Christians think that they're in their Bible sometimes. They say, God says. No, God doesn't say that at all. You see, there are so many voices speaking to us in our world. So many voices. How many voices have captured your attention over the last week, over the last month perhaps? So wonderful to hear that you've been digging into, you know, the Gospel of Luke and Bron. That was just fantastic. Where's Bron? There you are. Fantastic sharing your experiences and how the Lord has met you through that a little earlier in our service. That was great. I found that really encouraging. Because there are so many voices that we're hearing, you know, day to day. So many things that we hear on media, so many things that we hear from conversations with others. The lunchroom at work, for example. Now, there's an amazing source of wisdom, not at times. And who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Let's read this passage. I'll call this message, Listen to Him. So I'm going to read out from the NIV translation. I think it's going to be on the screens in front of you so you can follow along if you like. Luke 9, verses 28 through 36. About 8 days after Jesus said this, which was actually he was explaining his impending sufferings and that he would actually suffer, he would die, and on the third day he would rise to life again. And he talked about having a point of agreement and a point of admission and confession and ownership of who Jesus is. And he said that, if we're prepared to honor the Son of Man and acknowledge Him, then when He comes, He won't be ashamed of acknowledging us. He will own us as His own when He comes again. And then he said, truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. And so that's that he said. After he said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus, and they spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, I bet you they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. In parentheses, it says, he did not know what he was saying. Have you ever had those moments? You know, if you're a talker, you will seize the moment to talk. Even if you don't know really what to say, you will just say something because silence is awkward. So you'll fill the space with something. It says, while he was speaking, I love that, while he was speaking, while Peter's blurting this out, coming up with something to say, a cloud appeared and covered them. It's like God just interrupts. Be quiet, Peter. A cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I've chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. Whenever I read this story, and it's in Matthew and Mark and Luke, they all record it, and they all record it in exactly the same sequence. It all happens after this conversation that Jesus has had with them, saying this thing that you don't expect should happen to the Messiah is going to happen to the Messiah. He's going to be put to death and he's going to rise to life again. And they just, that totally does their theology and they just can't grasp it. And so, but in each case, the gospel records it. And then it says that some of them who hear that are going to see the kingdom of God. Now, they would have prayed as good Jews. They would pray daily, perhaps, God, bring your kingdom. They wanted to see the kingdom come. And Jesus says that some of them standing there won't taste death. And it seems to me that their experience is the confirmation of that, that some of them get to experience this very privileged situation where they go up the mountain. And I often wonder, how did they know of those two others that showed up? One was Moses and one was Elijah. Was it like church where you had name tags? And Moses had Moses and Elijah had Elijah, you know, and we said, oh, we know who you are because you got your name tag on. You know. Well, how did they know that? Or maybe they referred to them. It doesn't say. It just kind of piques your interest. What? How did they know that? What an amazing experience that was. You think about that, you know. One of the three, Peter, James, John, come with me. And to be invited by Jesus to go into the place of prayer with Jesus. Because that's why he went up the mountain. He went up to pray. He went up the mountain to pray. He called those three, come up with me. Wow. No idea what they were about to experience. And what they experienced, no one else in human history has experienced. Went up, we don't know how long they were, took. They were there overnight, but we don't know how many hours they might have been there. And in the midst of that, who's ever fallen asleep in a prayer meeting? Don't put up your hand. It's okay because these guys felt very sleepy. And when they sort of came to, they saw this amazing sight where Moses and Elijah were talking to Jesus about Jesus' exodus, his departure that was going to happen some weeks away. And they had this amazing opportunity to participate and hear this going on and to see before their with their very own eyes who is this Jesus. You know, the one that, as you would have already studied, the one who did miracles, the one who healed people, the one who multiplied food, the one who walked on water, the one who did amazing teachings and prayed in ways that caused them to have such a hunger to want to have the same kind of thing. And yet, this was the peak. This was the ultimate because in just a moment, the curtains were pulled back and they got to see Jesus for who he actually is. That he is the glorified Son of God, that he is God's Messiah. He is the Son. And in that, there was these two great traditions for them. Moses representing the law, the commands, and Elijah representing the tradition of the great powerful prophets, the law and the prophets, these two great streams in their tradition. And yet, in the midst of all of that, cloud comes down and a voice speaks, the voice of God the Father speaks and says, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." So who do you like listening to? We've all got our favorite preachers. You've all got maybe your favorite podcast. You might have certain people that you like to watch on TV. And sometimes what can happen is we all have the ones that we like to listen to. They become our favorites. But actually, we are to be, more than anything else, having an ear to listen to Jesus. Listen to him. And that was the big point of that experience, where Jesus was exalted in their very experience, where Jesus was lifted up. They heard from the voice of the Father the true identity of Jesus. He is the Father's chosen Son. He is the Son of God. And he was elevated to be above every other voice that they were ever to listen to, ever again. As well served as they had been by their knowledge of the law of Moses and by the record and the writings of the prophets, as wonderful, it had all come to fulfillment, all come to completion in the person of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1 starts off and it says, you know, in many ways and in various times, God has spoken to us, but now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Not just through his Son, but by his Son. By his Son. You know, your study through Luke's gospel in the last few weeks, your reflection of different portraits of Jesus are wonderful things to focus on because they show us the true image of God. We all live in a community of people where people got all sorts of ideas of what God is like. Even those that don't believe in God have a picture of God they don't believe in that they're rejecting. That's what happens for them. And so they have that. I'll ask you a question later on. I'll answer that after the service. Okay. So that's what they do. They are in that place. And Jesus is revealed as the ultimate voice for us, the ultimate voice that speaks to us. And God says there, listen to him. Listen to him. It's great to have our favorites. But Jesus has to be the superior voice that we're listening to, the superior voice that we give place to in our life. Let me ask just a couple of questions, and I think in many ways there, I'm encouraged as I was pondering over this because of what has been shared in the service already. But, you know, are we watching more and reading less? Are we watching more and reading less? I think that probably, you know, because of the appetite that has been whetted through Luke's gospel, you know, there's a sense of, oh man, I can hear Jesus speaking to me out of the Word of God. And so we often need, I've found over my Christian walk of, you know, some 40 plus years now, that I have to be turned back so that I'm hearing God speak in his Word. And it's his voice that is to be above every other voice and every other opinion. Are we doing more and praying less? Now, that's not so much about equivalent amounts of time, but it's about intent. And so it's great when I hear of your, you know, rising early and you're participating in prayer walks as a church and keeping that up, you know, one morning a week over coming. That's great because that means that we don't just depend on our human efforts. We are pursuing God and we're depending on him. So easy to think that our activity is what makes the difference, when it's actually on our knees that most of the advances that we seek to gain take place. I think that's why, you know, the middle of Luke's gospel is Luke 11. Often the middle of a book is where the real core truths are found. In the middle of Luke's gospel is Luke 11, which is all the teaching about prayer, and it starts off with stuff about Martha and Mary, who feels that they're sometimes torn between being a Martha or a Mary. You know, so much to be done. And yet God calls us to be those who will pray. See, as we encounter and listen to Jesus and his word, we're understanding that Jesus is a shepherd, he's not a satellite. What I mean by that is Jesus is the one who speaks to us and who leads us. He's not distant and remote. He's present to us. He is the good shepherd. And his sheep know his voice and hear him and recognize God speaking through him and follow. That's what it is to be a follower of Jesus. You know, a couple of practical things that I'm sure you've discovered but are worth maybe repeating, and that's that being impressed with Jesus all over again, and perhaps that's what we are to gain and draw out of this particular text this morning. It's how truly impressive Jesus really is. And rediscovering and reaffirming his real identity, that he is the Son of God. Just as Peter and James and John were having reinforced to them out of all of their familiar experience that they'd had, and they'd got pretty familiar with Jesus up till this point. But in this moment, this was a whole nother level. Go up that mountain, and all of that idea of going up that mountain would have stirred so many stories and memories of Old Testament stories. Moses went up a mountain, received the commands. Elijah went up the mountain when he was running away. That guy was a formidable character, Elijah. Had his contest with the prophets of Baal and the other prophets, you know, 840 of them, 850 of them that he just defeated. But then in his own human weakness, he runs away, but God catches up with him, and it's on the mountain, still small voice, that God restores him back and calls him back to ministry. Mountains always play a very important place in the Old Testament characters' connection with God. But when they're up the mountain this time, where Jesus' true identity is unveiled before them, see him for who he really is. And when you get impressed with Jesus over and over and over again, then our response means I need to dig in. I need to do something about that. So it's often, you know, building that habit of getting into God's word just as you've been doing. And if you have a bad week, well, praise God, God always gives us a new week. That's what Sunday's about. Beginning of a new week. Don't get hung up and think, oh, I didn't quite hit the highs that I wanted to last week. It's all right. We start a new week and we get on with it. And, you know, read a translation that you enjoy. Not the one the person that you are impressed by reads and you think you should be like them. No, read a translation that you enjoy, that makes sense to you and brings a freshness to the Word of God. And then, as Bron was pointing out, you meditate, you read and you hear. I love what Bron said about putting on that, you know, magnificent voice of the audio recording. It's great to hear the Word of God. In fact, the early Christians were hearing it before they read it. They didn't have Bibles like we did. They didn't go down to Qumran and have 10 versions that they could choose from. They heard it. And something when you hear God's word, is a great way to engage in it. But I want to just, in closing, kind of want to bring out a bit of a context here that we see virtually, especially in verse 51, a little later in the same chapter, in chapter 9. Because what's been going on in this chapter are lots of encounters that Jesus has and lots of information that he unloads on his disciples for the very first time. All of us come to God with an agenda. And Jesus had to rework that agenda according to what God had planned in the hearing and in the understanding of the disciples. And in verse 51, it says, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. See, this was a crossroads and a defining moment in Jesus' mission. It turned out that was only weeks away from his death and his resurrection in Jerusalem. And so this was an absolutely pivotal moment for him and for his disciples. When Jesus came down from that mountain, it said he set his face like flint. He was set himself resolutely to complete the mission that his Father had sent him. That's the broader context of where this whole story comes about. And that presents an image in my mind, particularly thinking of your portrait title, because how many of you have seen in those movies where it might be a war movie or something that's got a conflict motive around about it, and the hero, the main character in the story, is about to launch into their final battle, and they're mustering as much courage as they can, and they put their hand in their coat or their pocket, and they take out a shabby, tattered sort of photo of a loved one. And they look at it, and that stirs in them a sense of the reason why they're going to go on and do what they're going to do. Put it back in their pocket on the inside, and they gather all their energies, and they, whatever odds they might face, they go for it, and they go into that battle. Well, that's how Jesus descended this mountain. That's also how we capture this portrait for our own lives. Because who knows, we all have to come down from the mountain. The mountain sometimes can be our Sunday experience. The mountain can be this glorious place of prayer. Like Bron said, you know, just being in that sunny spot in her house alone, having the sun, you know, thaw out her frozen toes or something like that. You know, we all have those places. Whatever is that highest point, we have to come down from the mountain and we have to get in the midst of the broken, unbelieving world that we live amongst. We all have to come down from that mountain. But what makes that transition from the high point of the mountain down to the broken and unbelieving world that we live amongst and the people that we know so well and our own experience is if we remember who we're serving and who we're. We're not just following a great teacher, though he is great. We're not just following a great prophet who spoke God's message to us. We are following God's Son. God's Son in all of his glory. And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we just forget the magnificence, the superiority of Jesus. And when we remember this is who it is, this is who we're serving, this is what he is like, it makes a big difference because we all have to come down to that world of contradiction. Who knows? For most of us, tomorrow is that day where we had, you know, I don't know, I think you guys are going off on your holiday here. Yeah, it's not really fair, really, but... But for us, it's so important that we come and what we draw out of our heart, the portrait that we draw out and that we will set our affections on, that we will set our attention on in the coming week, is that portrait, that image of the beautiful Son of God who is exactly that.
Thanks for listening. We would love to connect with you. Our services are on Sundays at 217 Howick Street at 10 a.m. for a 10:30 service. Or visit us on the web at c3churchbathurst.org. Come like a river, come like a flood. Let us be overwhelmed, baptized in your love.